Welcome everybody. Thank you for joining once again. As you can see, today I'm on my own. Barry and Anne have got a week looking after their grandchildren plus the dog while their daughter and son-in-law are away. So Barry, I think, is probably at the school gate as we speak, picking up his kids from his grandkids from school. I think although he would have liked to have been with us, it probably wouldn't have been a great blessing to Anne to leave the three children and the dog with her. So just me today. Barry will be returning the favour in 2 weeks' time because I'll be doing grandparent duty then for my grandsons. One of those delights that we get to do every now and then. But anyway, you're all very welcome. Thank you for joining us. And those who are watching later, also, you're very welcome. And thanks for taking time to do that. Great. Just before I start what I want to talk about today, just let me mention we've updated the Father Heart UK website for all the events that are happening over the next few months. And if you're, well, just have a look. There might be something in your area. Trevor and Linda come back from New Zealand in a couple of weeks' time, and they've got quite a number of events in the UK and across Europe over the next few months. So have a look at those. Some of them might be near where you are, or maybe near where you've got friends that you want to recommend to go and join those events. I'm doing a couple of things in the next few weeks and months. I'm in Poland in 2 weeks' time for our Father Heart encounter. And then in the beginning of April, I'm in Germany. And then in May, I'm doing a Father Heart encounter week in Cyprus, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'll be back in Uganda, hopefully in June. So quite a few things coming up in the next few months. And if you look on the fatherheart.uk website, the address is on the screen, fatherheart.uk. All of the events are listed on the homepage, and there's contact details for each one of those events. So if you're interested and you need more details, just click on the link. Don't contact me because I don't know all the details. Contact the person on the website and they'll be able to help you with all of that. So, yeah. Have a look at that. Next week, Barry and I are hoping to be back together again on the webcast. So come and join us next week. But today it's just me, and just wanted to share a few things really on a couple of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 27 and Psalm 84. They're two Psalms I go to, you know, regularly. Because they just speak so much of the Father's provision and care for us. And I believe he wants to kind of just take us back into that today and, you know, just touch our hearts once again with his love. And also just to, you know, I believe as I'm talking, there's going to be issues maybe that come up in your heart. And, you know, Father brings us up because he wants to touch them with his love and bring healing and restoration and bring freedom to set us free from those things. So here we go. Psalm 27 and Psalm 84. Psalm, really, I mean, if this evening has got one word to summarize it, it's desire. You can see that a little bit from the heading, you know, one thing. It's one of the verses we'll look at in Psalm 27. You know, one thing I ask from the Lord, this is what I seek. And it really expresses the desire that is in King David's heart. And desire is a very powerful word, isn't it? It's a very strong word. If we read through Proverbs, we see many, many warnings about having a desire for the wrong thing, and how those wrong desires are very strong. They take hold of us. And Solomon in Proverbs, he basically says, you know, run, you know, get out of there. If these desires take hold of you, just turn and go in the other way, because these strong wrong desires, they eat up inside of us, and they consume us, and they don't actually do us any good. So, you know, desire is a very strong thing. And what comes across in this psalm, we're going to read the whole psalm in a minute, Psalm 27. What comes across is the incredibly strong desire that David has for the Lord. And I hope as we're kind of looking at this today, it stirs within us that longing, that desire for more. You know, there's always more. And I really believe that it's the more we pursue the more life and freedom we discover in our hearts. And I really just want to encourage you guys, you know, that don't give up on the more. Don't ever settle. You know, many people, they feel like they've had enough, or they've reached a level and they plateau, they stop seeking more. And, you know, they kind of reach their own personal contentment. And gradually what happens when you settle and when you plateau, you actually start going backwards. If you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. And people think they've just settled, but actually their desire starts to wane and fade away. So really, as we start looking at this, the encouragement is very much pursue the more, because there's always more. So we're going to start off by reading. I'm going to read the whole of Psalm 27. As I say, it's one of my favorite psalms, and I'm going to explain why as we go through. It's just a wonderful declaration of the Father's goodness and care for us. So Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You know, what a beautiful psalm. It talks of David's dependence on the Lord. And he really finds that safe place and that place of dependency and that place of provision with two particular issues that are going on in this psalm. The first one is really the whole sense of oppression and resistance. You know, verses 2-3 and 5-6, it's really talking about all of the attacks that are coming against King David. You know, it's the wicked advancing against me to devour me. It's an army besieging me. You know, war is breaking out. In the day of trouble, you will keep me safe. You see, here is King David, and we don't know what was going on when he wrote the psalm, but clearly there's a lot of oppression, there's a lot of resistance, there's a lot of struggle, and yet he doesn't let that struggle get him down. You know, he says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. When enemies advance against me, they're the ones who fall. You know, I can stand firm because I've got God on my side. You know, though an army comes against me, you know, I can be confident. In the day of trouble, verse 5, it says he keeps me safe. And this is the beautiful thing, is that in the struggles, in the oppression, in the resistance, there is a place of provision for us. And, you know, I don't know what you're going through in your lives at the moment. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I just feel like I want to encourage you with this, that in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of the oppression, you have a safe place. And it says in verse 5, he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And, you know, sometimes we lose sight of that when we're in the midst of the struggle, when we're in the midst of the hassle, we're in the midst of the pain or the brokenness. It's like we lose sight of our true place in him. And really, all I want to do today is just remind us that whatever is going on, we don't have to be knocked down, because he is the one who brings us to a place of safety. He's the one who keeps us safe. And it's a confidence that we can have because we're sons and daughters and Almighty God is our Father. That whatever is going on in us, whatever is going on around us, whatever is going on in our workplaces or our families or our communities, you know, we might feel we're being persecuted, we might feel we're being attacked, we might feel just under pressure from a whole range of things. It might be sickness, it might be depression, it might be financial worries, all sorts of things can come against us and they steal our peace. And yet in the middle of this psalm, you know, King David is being attacked on every side. It's very easy for him to lose his peace. It's very easy for him to kind of lose that sense of who he is, lose that sense of who his security is. But he comes back to this in the middle of the psalm. Verse 4, you know, one thing I ask. This is the only thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, he's in the middle of this oppression, he's in the middle of this resistance, he's in the middle of this attack. And he just says one thing, this is what I seek, to find that safe place in the Father's presence, to gaze upon his beauty. And I'm just want to encourage us today with the encouragement that David found in this psalm. Is that whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is coming against you, let this be the cry. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. See, that's the more that I was talking about at the beginning. You know, that wherever we get to, there's always more. And when we keep pursuing that, we begin to discover that actually it's a very safe place to be held in his arms. You know, it means letting go of our independence. It means letting go of our pride. It means letting go and trusting. You see, what happens is we get to the stage where we run out and we've got no more resources. We've got no more ability to fight, you know, and very many of us are in fighting mode, and we're fighting and we're fighting and we're fighting and we're doing it in our own strength, and we get exhausted. And we come to that place where either we give up and give up, or we give up and let go in order to let him show us that safe place that we have in him. And, you know, out of my own experience, my own journey, there is no better place, there is no better thing to do than to let go. And to realize that our own strength and our own abilities, our own fight is not enough. And just to let go, and to, in letting go, when we're actually, it looks like we're giving up, but in letting go, we're actually placing our trust in the one who is stronger and more able. And as he says in Deuteronomy, I want to carry you as a father carries a son. You know, it's like the father wants to reach down and pick us up and carry us. And he does that when we let go. When we stop fighting, but we let go and we reach out to him, and he picks us up and carries us, and we find this beautiful place, you know, our home. That's what David found here in this psalm. He found home. You know, this is the only thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to gaze upon his beauty. See, David got to the place where he could kind of put the oppression, put the resistance, put the attacks to one side, not focus on them. See, when we focus on that, it drains our energy. But David got to the place where he could put all that to one side and just focus on the beauty of the Lord. Because in his heart, there was that desire for more. There was that longing for more. And he says in verses 5 and 6 that, you know, when he lets go, and when he gives up, and he lets go of his own strength, his own abilities to fight and struggle, he finds there's a safe place in the Father's dwelling. He's hidden in the shelter of the sacred tent. He's set high upon a rock. You know, his head is exalted above his enemies. I remember Bill Johnson saying one day about this verse that, you know, God puts us on a rock out of reach of our enemies, but he shows us off to our enemies. You know, it's like he says, this is my son. You know, this is my daughter. You can't touch them. And I know for many of us there will be struggles, there will be fights, there will be things that we feel it's just like coming against us all the time. And we get weary. You might be listening to me talking today and you might be weary. You might be exhausted. And I just want to point you in the direction of home and say there is a beauty and a safety and the security of letting go. Because when we let go, we can come into that place. We can come home. We can allow our Father to be the one who fights for us. And that's what the psalmist is writing here. That in the midst of all of the oppression, all of the resistance, all of the attacks, all of our life being sucked away, there's a place of safety and a place of security. And it's described here for us as a beautiful place. And I hope maybe even if there are no attacks, there's nothing going on in your life that's a struggle at the moment, I hope you can hear the desire, the longing for more. That whatever's going on, whether it's good or bad, there's something inside of us that says, I want more. You know, where do we run when the going gets tough? You know, do we run into our own resources or do we run into the Father's resources? And whatever you're facing today, whether it's health issues or finances or jobs or family or just stuff going on inside of you, can I just encourage you to have this same cry? One thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I may find his presence and be satisfied by it. See, Paul writes in Ephesians that we are rooted and grounded in love, or that we're planted in love. And it's like, you know, the roots of our lives go down into love. You know, Paul says, you know, when we're planted in love, we begin to understand perhaps a little bit how wide and long and high and deep his love is. And the deeper our roots go into love, the more able we are to stand when the going gets tough. You know, Jesus told a story, didn't he, of a man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms came, when the rain came, the house fell flat. But another man built his house on the rock. And when the storms came, you know, he could stand. It's the same picture, really, as Paul's picture in Ephesians. Paul uses a plant being planted in soil. You know, that the soil is God's love. And, you know, we want our roots to go down deep so that we can stand. And Jesus uses that picture of, you know, a good foundation for a house. I remember hearing a story one time of a man in the American, the great plains, open plains of America, who was planting some young trees. And every day with these young trees, he would go out into the field, into the orchard, and he would take hold of the tree trunk of this young tree, and he would shake it. And then he would do the next tree and shake that tree. And he would go around all of these young trees and shake them every day. And somebody said to him, why are you doing that? Why are you shaking your trees? And he said, you know, I'm shaking them because as I shake them, it makes them resistant to the storms and the wind that will come. And it forces them to put their roots down deeper so that when the real storms come, they can stand. And I feel our lives are like that, that there's a lot of shaking that goes on. There's a lot of, you know, the storms of life. And if we've got those strong roots, you know, we'll be able to withstand the storm a lot better. And so the first thing that David talks about in this psalm is the oppression, the attacks, the resistance. And we all face them. And many of you might be struggling with some of those right now. And I just encourage you to, in that place of struggle, in that place of hardship, let this be your cry. One thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Because when we find that place, it's the strongest and safest and most secure place for us to be. You know, life's hard enough. It's got enough struggles and enough storms. We can easily be blown over. But when we find our place of safety in him, you know, we're shown off to our enemies. We're on a strong rock. This is the more that I was talking about, pursuing the more. Having that desire, it's such a strong word. Desire makes us do all sorts of things, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, I want to breathe life today into our desire, that our desire for him grows. We had Wendy Mann on the webcast a few weeks ago, and she was talking about hosting God's presence. It's the book, the very good book she's just written. And, you know, she was talking about having that desire for more of his presence. And, you know, I really just want to kind of build on that and just say, yes, That's the more of him, more of his love, more of his life, more of his presence, more of his joy, more of his peace, more of his kindness, more of his gentleness, more of his self-control. You know, that we become a people who reflect who our Father is. So that's the first thing he addresses. And the second thing he addresses in verses 7 through to 12 is the whole topic, if you like, of rejection. And I think this is a huge thing for many people, because rejection is basically a lie of the enemy. You know, what the Father says to you is, you are my son, whom I love, I'm proud of you. You are my daughter, whom I love, I'm proud of you. See, that's the truth that the Father is constantly affirming in our hearts, that we are his beloved sons and daughters. But the enemy wants to sow a lie into our hearts. And he's pretty good at doing it, I have to say. He's got a pretty good track record. That his lie is that we're no good. His lie is that no one loves us. His lie is that we've messed up and therefore we've been pushed away. And, you know, he constantly sows these lies into our hearts. And what rejection does is it sucks us away from the place of living in our true identity as sons and daughters. You know, rejection puts like a wall between us and our true identity. And it makes us, you know, it makes us ineffective. It makes us feel useless. It makes us feel disconnected. But it puts a real pain in our hearts about abandonment and being alone and worthless. See, our true identity is all about value. It's all about worth. It's all about belonging. But rejection steals all those things away. And, you know, I just want to spend a few moments addressing this, because I believe it's a very real thing for many people. It's a real struggle. And Paul says, you know, not Paul, sorry, David, King David says in his psalm, he says, hear me when I call, you know, be merciful. You know, my heart is trying to seek you. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Don't hide your face from me. You know, don't turn your servant away. You've been my helper. Don't reject me. Don't forsake me. You know, and then this powerful verse, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You see, we don't know. Well, we kind of get a bit of an idea from reading the account of David's life of some of the rejection he experienced. You know, obviously Jesse didn't bring him in when Samuel came to anoint one of the boys as the future king. The brothers rejected him when he went to visit them when Goliath was standing there. You know, King Saul rejected him. But I think there's a deeper rejection, you know, in David's heart, or there had been a deeper rejection of abandonment and, you know, feeling so worthless. Because, you know, he obviously has experienced his mother and father forsaking him or rejecting him in some way. And he says, Lord, don't be like my earthly parents. You know, when I turn to you, I know, thankfully, that you will receive me. And many people, I think, struggle with this sense of rejection, this sense of abandonment, this sense of worthlessness. And David talks about this, and, you know, what he's basically saying is, and I want to say it to you, is, you know, you are received, you are loved, you are valued, because when we are with him, there is no rejection. Even if we make mistakes, even if we get things wrong, he covers that with his love. Yeah, we might need to repent, we might need to change our ways, but our wrongdoings or bad behavior or whatever, it doesn't disqualify us, and it doesn't push us outside of the camp, if you like. It doesn't put us outside the family. You know, we are the ones, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, we are the ones who take ourselves out of the family. The father never rejects us. He never pushes us out of the family. You know, we're the ones who go walkabout. We're not expelled from his presence by him. See, in him, with him, there is no rejection. You are received. Yeah, we might have our baggage, but he still accepts us and he receives us. He opens a door and he invites us in. And here's David going through this account of, yes, I've suffered rejection, but I know when I call on him, he will answer me. I know I can seek his face. I know he won't turn his face away from me. I know he won't reject me. I know he will lead me in a straight path. I know he won't turn me over to my enemies. You know, what David finds is total acceptance. See, the opposite to rejection is discovering our true identity. And we only truly discover our true identity when we know that we're loved. And so, if this is something you're struggling with today, my prayer is that you experience and encounter the love of the Father that is stronger than any rejection that you feel. It's stronger than any abandonment or aloneness that you feel. It's stronger than any unworthiness that you feel. It's a wide open door that says, come in. You belong. And sometimes we feel ashamed. We feel dirty. We don't feel we can come in. But he says, come in anyway. Come in. The prodigal son came home. He was dirty, smelly, filthy. But the welcome that the father gave him was so strong and authentic that the boy could just walk through the door and be back at home. And so if rejection is something that you've been struggling with, I want to say that there's an open door to come home. The father's there with his arms open wide to welcome you and say, welcome home. And it's what he wants to do. And he wants to reveal to you your true identity, so that you become rooted and grounded in love. John 16, verse 27, very simple statement, but very powerful. The Father himself loves you. And when we hear that statement in our heart, that deals with all of the rejection. It deals with all of the emptiness. It deals with all of the abandonment, all of the aloneness. Maybe you need to hear that today. The Father himself loves you. John chapter 16, verse 27. I just want to jump over to Psalm 84 just for a few moments, because this is my other favorite psalm. And in many ways, it's the same kind of feeling, really. It's that longing, that yearning for the Lord's presence. It starts off, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. How lovely is your dwelling place. You know, that desire. Oh, what a place I found. You know, and actually when we come home, when we let go of, you know, when we allow ourselves to discover our true identity, when love overcomes rejection, we can say this. How lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And I love this next verse. It's verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Do you know what that speaks to me about? A sparrow is... it's a little insignificant bird. I mean, there's not so many these days as there used to be, but it's a very common bird, particularly in this country. And, you know, it's almost so familiar that it's insignificant. It's not like the golden eagle or the red kite or the owls. It's just the sparrow. And you might be feeling like a sparrow. you might be feeling insignificant to a penny. You know, who's bothered about me? Who cares about me? But there's a place for you. There's a place for you in his presence. Even the sparrow has found a home. So if you feel insignificant, you're not excluded. You're in. You're right in. There's a place for you. There's a home for you. The swallow is another bird. It flits in and flits out, comes and goes. There's people like that. They come and go. They come and go. They come and go. You might be like that. You might come in and flit in and flit out, but there's a place for you where you can have a nest, a place of belonging. And what this psalm does is it draws us in. It draws us in. It draws us into that beautiful place, that secure place. How lovely is your dwelling place. It puts that desire in our heart that hopefully rises up and grows. And my prayer today is that whatever level of desire you have in your heart would grow and increase. And this statement, if you like, would become your passion. How lovely is your dwelling place? You know, that's what we desire, is we desire his presence. We desire him. And even a sparrow, even a swallow, there's a place of belonging. You know, blessed are those whose strength is in you. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is the place of dryness, they make it a place of springs. See, when we find our true home with him, there is a life that comes into us that will transform the barren places around us. They'll transform the barren places of our heart. And they'll cause us to go from strength to strength. Because the Lord looks with favour on us because we are his anointed ones. You know, better is one day. I love this song, this verse. Better is one day than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, in the house of my God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, just to stand at, you know, the psalmist is saying, you know, I'm content just to stand at the door and look in. But actually, that's a good place to begin, but there's more than that, because we are welcome right in to the middle, right into the center. You know, which psalm are we in? I think we flip back to Psalm 27. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for him. See, I think there's a confidence that we have that says God is good. God is faithful. You know, we don't have to do things in our own strength. We don't have to fight in our own strength, but we can rely on him. We can rely on him. And I just hope and pray that today there's something that inspires us to say, this is what I want. This is actually, these are the last two verses of Psalm 27. So sorry, I flipped back from Psalm 84 to Psalm 27. You know, that there's a confidence and assurance that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And despite whatever's going on in our hearts, whatever's going on in our lives, there is a confidence that comes, not because of our own abilities, not because of our own resources, but there's a confidence that comes because of who he is. And I just want to begin to draw this to a close, in a sense, really just by saying, you know, you might be in a season where everything is coming against you. You know, there's a lot of attack, a lot of pressure, whether it's financial or your health or your work or your family or just the stuff of life that you've been carrying around. And it's exhausting, isn't it? That might be where you're at today. You might be struggling with feelings of rejection, loneliness, abandonment, unworthiness. There's no, you might even be thinking, there's no place for me. I don't belong. But yet the swallow and the sparrow have a place right there in the presence of the Lord. See, it's not about us, it's about him. And it's about what he's done for us and who he is and who we are in him. See, the confidence we have is not because of our own strength or abilities. The confidence we have is because of who he is. And I want to encourage you today to let go. To let go. And to find that place of peace and rest in the center of his presence. Because when we find that place, that's where our confidence comes from. And we begin to believe that we will start to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for him. Because he is our refuge. He is our strength. And I just want to finish with a couple of verses from Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 26. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him and to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We can't wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord if we are outside of his presence, because there's too much activity, too much busyness, too much pressure, too much, you know, we feel those attacks, we feel that rejection. But when we find our home in the center of his presence, when we find that place of belonging, that place of security, that place of safety where he's put us on a rock above our enemies, that's when we can wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so I just want to pray as we finish and just ask the Father to be with each one of you in your situation. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're facing, he is there with you. And I just want to pray that blessing of his presence for you. I want to pray his provision for you. And I want to just ask and just pray the blessing of your true identity for you. And maybe just as we pray, just as the music's on quietly, maybe you just want to reach out and let go. You know, give him the struggles. Give him your health problems. Give him your financial problems. Give him the problems in the family. Let go. Say, Father, I've struggled enough. I've done enough. But I let go. I give it to you. I trust you. You know, it's a difficult thing to let go. It's a difficult thing to give him the things that we've been carrying. But I want to tell you, he's much better at carrying them than you are. And so, Father, I just ask for a wave of your blessing and your assurance to fill every person watching now, every person watching later. That whatever's going on in our lives, Father, you're bigger, you're stronger. And we give those situations to you. We give our struggles to you. We let go. And we ask that, Father, as we let go, you will lead us to that place where we see the door open and we can just walk into your presence, where we can find that security, that safety of being in your presence. So, Father, may we see that open doorway. May we go through that open doorway and find you and find out who you are. I particularly pray, Father, that you would lift any rejection off people. we just recognize that as a lie of the enemy. If you're feeling, if you're struggling with rejection, just renounce that lie in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray you'd lift that rejection off, because that's not our identity. And you would show our true identity as sons and daughters loved by you. That we're valued, that we're accepted, that we have worth in you. So Father, just lift all that rejection off in the name of Jesus. That you are with us. You're loving us right now. And Father, just pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May we have an encounter with love. Thank you, Father. Yeah. That we were loved, we were chosen before the creation of the world. The Father says to each one of us, the Father himself loves you. I love you, he says. You are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. That's the truth, and that truth will set us free from the power of rejection. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, thank you all for being with me. As I say, Barry will be back with me next week. Then in 2 weeks' time, I'll be doing grandfather duty. But we'll be back together, same time, same place. And thanks for being with me, and have a good rest of the day.